A walk down memory lane with our very own Jewish encyclopedia. It's Talk of the Town with Isaac Resnick, only on your station, 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome, good morning, a good morning to all our listeners. I hope you had a wonderful Yontif. Of course, we had rain. Of course, the first two nights of Sukkot were perfect, really. We could all sit in the sukkah. But then the second day started to rain, drizzle, Shabbat as well, and then, of course, the storms arrived. But we needed that rain. But, of course, look at the devastation. Unfortunately, three people were killed. Now, I've got a very interesting show this morning. And before that, we start off as usual. Unfortunately, those who passed away during the past week, there was Gertie Eluri, Mona Goldberg, Frieda Epstein, David Edelstein, Karina Krom, Maureen Lashansky, Sarah Superfane, Julius Levine, Natalie Wolf, Gerald Eisenstein, David Kelman, Michael Trobe, Lauren Tatz. I haven't seen the list for this morning. It hadn't arrived. If it does come in, I'll mention the names. So I just want to take the opportunity of wishing the respective families Chaim Tovim Arukim a long and a good life, and may they have no further sorrow. Now, tomorrow, of course, is Hashanah Rabbah, and then, of course, on Thursday again, we have Shmini Atzeret, and then Friday, which is going to be Simchat Torah. And I'm going to talk a lot about the past now, and then a little later on, I'm also going to talk about a very important subject as well, but we'll come to that in a few moments. Now, tomorrow being Hashanah Rabbah, there is one delicacy which we eat. Let's see if our listeners know what it is. You could text us 34519, or you can call us on 0746457335. Shana Rabbah, what do we eat tomorrow on Shana Rabbah? So please, if you do know, text 34519. Now, I mentioned Shmini Atzeret. Now, on Shmini Atzeret, also remember we do have Yizkor as well. And then just to go back to the past, because today is going to be a lot about the past. We're not talking reflections of the past, but what happened years ago when we used to have these wonderful chagim, which is still today. You know, there's a lot of members of our community who are not regular shul goers. They only come down three times a year, or sometimes they do come in during a Shabbat or Chag, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, etc. But when it comes to Yizkor, you've got a lot of the community, I say an enormous amount of the community, who will come to shul just for an hour or two to say Yizkor, and then they go away and they leave the shul. And it reminds me of a drosha that was once given by the late Rabbi Rav HaGaon, Michal Kosofsky Zatzal. I'm sure many of you remember him, one of the founders of the Yeshiva College. And he gave a drosha where he said, you know, everybody you don't see during the year, but when it comes to Yizkor, we Jews are very, very unique in the world. We do remember our past. In other words, we light a Yahrzeit candle. We come to shul, we say Yizkor, we keep the Yahrzeit. Some people, a lot of people go to the cemetery and visit the graves of the deceased. And they do come to shul on the Yahrzeit date and say the Kaddish. He says, and I'm going to compare it, this is what he said, even an animal, like if you take a dog, and a dog gives birth to puppies, say it gives three or four puppies, but one of those pups dies, that dog will not leave that pup. And you'll hear the dog actually crying, actually sobbing. He said, and that's what is unique about the Jewish nation, where we do remember and we do give honor to our parents. So that will be on Shmini Atzeret. And then, of course, on Shmini Atzeret, there's another very important function which we're going to do, service, and that's called the Mashiv Aruach, where we're going to pray for rain. Now, not necessarily it's here for Johannesburg, for South Africa. It's rain for Israel, because there they do need the rain. And then from Shmini Atzeret, we start to say Mashiv Aruach Marid Agoshem, which then ends at the when we come to Pesach as well. So, but I did put out a question now. Tomorrow, Hashona Rabbah, what do we have as a delicacy on Hashona Rabbah? Please text 34519 or call 074 and the number is 654-7335. Now, in a few moments, I'm also going to talk about the sukkahs that we used to have years ago and what happened on Simchas Torah. So we're just going to take a break for a moment. We'll come back in a few seconds.
What's going on in the community? Let's find out with Isaac Resnick.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, I played that Siv Shalom specially for my very two close friends. That's Toby Kossoff. I hope you're listening. And for Ellen Davidovitz. I hope you're feeling much better, Ellen, and had a wonderful Yom Tov. Now, I am talking all about Simchas Torah and Shemini Atzeret. And I mentioned also that tomorrow morning is Hashona Rabbah. And there's a special delicacy which he eats, and I did get an apsia to say it's kreplach, yes. And of course, and then there's another one that came through, but I don't want to mention it because it'll give the clue away. What other two festivals, Yom Tovim, do we eat kreplach? And where does the word kreplach come from? How does it come about? So if you do know, please text 34519. And also spoke about Yiska on Shmini Atzeret and also about when we intone that special, very beautiful prayer for rain, Mashiva Ruach. That's basically for Eretz Yisrael, but we need rain here in South Africa. Yesterday, of course, was a terrible, terrible storm. I remember we had some similar last year as well. Now, also on Simchas Torah, how many of you remember years ago, I still get it in the shuls today, but it's not the same, where all the kids from the Chadorim would come in, from the Cheders, whatever it was, and you'd see children that you'd never seen before, because on that same night, the first night, where they would give out chocolates, and the next morning as well. Now, why I want to mention that is, remember those very wonderful Nestle chocolates? They were round. They looked like a penny. I'm sure many of those, the older generation, will remember what a penny looked like. And those chocolates were there, and those what we used to receive as well. Now, also, talking about Simchas Torah, most of the shuls today, I think 99%, have what they a Simchas Torah dinner. And also, they honor the Chosin Torah and the Chosin Bereshis as well. As a matter of fact, my great nephew in London, he's only 17, and he's been made a Chosin Torah for the junior shul. And his mother, Dalia Resnick, she's been honored with what they call an Ashes Chayil, which they have a ceremony about a week later in London. This is at the Mulhill Shul in London. Now, I want to know, please, those secretaries of the shuls or any of the members of the shul know, if you are having the dinners, could you please text through 34519? I want to let the community know. And also, I'd like to know some of the names of the people who are being honored for a Chosin Bereshis and a Chosin Torah. And by the way, I just want to mention the Lubavitch. They start the Akofos already on Shmini Atzeret. That'll be on Thursday evening. Wednesday evening, Shmini Atzeret. And then on Friday, Thursday evening, the Mitnagim, we do the Kofas, and of course on Thursday, Friday as well. So please text now, I'll put out that question again. How does what other festivals do we have Kreplach on? And how does the name Kreplach come through? Please text 34519. Now, talking about Sukkah as well, going back very many years, up to about 4 or 5 years ago, or maybe a little less, remember the Federation of Synagogues Ladies Guild? They used to organize a Sukkah competition. And remember, they used to go around to all the shuls to see which Sukkah was decorated the best, the most beautiful, and of course the chair lady there. And originally it was started by the late Doreen Bender, I'm sure many of you remember, and then of course it grew and grew and all the shuls started to enter, and then Dawn Nates, when she took over of blessed memory, assisted by Lorraine Ware and Bernie Sasson and all the other ladies, I can't mention them all, used to go around inspecting all the different shuls to see who won the best sukkah for that year. And then I want to mention one specific sukkah, which always could have won every year, but they felt it was unfair. That was a sukkah, it's still at Sandringham Gardens. And remember Eric Haynes, I'm sure many of you remember him. He used to work at the Connoisseur Hotel for Gloria and the late Isaac Rutstein, doing all the decorations. And he, when the Connoisseur Hotel was closed, he moved over to Sandringham Gardens, and he decorated that sukkah. It was absolutely superb. It's unbelievable. I don't know what's happened to Eric lately. I haven't heard. If anybody does know, please let me know. Text 34519. And if any of you listening in who part of that sukkah competition, ladies listening in of the guild in those days, which of the shuls won? I know 1 year there was definitely the Greenside Shul, and 1 year the Oxford Shul won. But let me know. Please text 34519. So I'm still waiting now. I've got the one answer about the what other festival we have, Kreplach. So please text 34519 or call 074-654-7335. And also, how does the name Kreplach come about? So I've spoken about the chocolates on Simchas Torah, the Chosen Torah, the Chosen Bereishis, the Yiska we say on Shmini Atzeret, we say Mashivarua, praying for rain, which is so needed in Israel, and of course here as well. And then of course, by the way, there's always a very interesting fact. If you speak to your gardener, he'll always tell you, the moment you're going to put up a sukkah, you know it's going to rain. And lo and behold, I got a text the other day from a lady and says, when is it going to rain? I said, well, the rain is not going to rain in Spain, but it's coming to South Africa because we've all put up our sukkahs. And of course, everyone had their etrog and their lulav this year. And I mentioned once before, per capita, outside of Israel, no other city or country in the world has as many sukkahs as we do. If you take a helicopter ride and you fly over Johannesburg, you cannot believe how many sukkahs are being put up. Remember in the old days, you would fly over Joburg and see all the swimming pools. Also per capita in the other city in the world, because we're so far away from the coast. We do have the dams, like the Vaal Dam, or you can go to Hartbeespoort Dam, but it's not the same. And the amount of sukkahs that are put up by individuals' homes is absolutely unbelievable. So in a few moments, we're going to take another ad break, and then I'm going to talk about some other subjects as well.
You're listening to Talk of the Town with Isaac Resnick on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. Well, I put out the question earlier. I'm still waiting for a reply on Shona Rabba, we eat Kreplach. What other two festivals do we eat Kreplach, and how does the name come Kreplach? Now, I did get a texture from from a gentleman or a lady who said they're driving. We wish people a gute kvittel, that is an 11th hour reprieve, because on Shona Rabba, you still got it's the last time where you can still ask for atonement, for forgiveness. And of course, on Hashanah Rabbah, we take the Hashonas, you know, that's the willow leaves. There should be a bundle of about five, approximately. And then at the end of the Hashanah, when we walk around the Bima seven times with the Etrog and Lulav for the last time, we put the Etrog and Lulav aside, and then we say special Hashanahs, and then we say Kolma Vashar, Kolma Vashar, and we start to beat those Hashanahs, those willow leaves, as if to say we're getting rid of all our sins, our averas. So I'm still waiting for that answer. And then I also mentioned about Simchas Torah, and I mentioned about Sukkot today, where if you took a helicopter ride and you drove around Johannesburg, flew over, you'd see so many sukkahs. But how many of you remember when we could only go to a sukkah at the shul? We couldn't afford to put up a sukkah, or they weren't available like they are today, you know, ready-made with the aluminium stands and the covers, the plastic covers, and the shach ready, la netzach, or you had to go and cut palms. We would go to our local shul, and there they would put up a most beautiful sukkah for the shuls, and the ladies' guilds would cater absolutely outstanding, unbelievable. I remember the Jeppy shul, the late Janie Kraut, and that was from the Krumer family. And if you go to Greenside, this is Annie Friedman. Or if you went to Sydenham, you had Lorraine Ware. And you had the other ladies. I'm not going to mention all the ladies, but every shul had a magnificent sukkah with a wonderful, wonderful spread. Cyril Dean, I remember there as well, the sukkah, the Benny Friedlander sukkah, which was in the shape of an actual octagon, if some of you do remember. So that was, as I say, a Moloka Yoren. But today, everyone has their own sukkah. They're always inviting people. Now, I got an answer to one question. They said, the one is Erev Yom Kippur, Kreplach, yes. Now, what is the third one? There's another one as well, which you eat Kreplach as well. If you do know, please text 3, 4, 5, 1, and 9. And then, where does the word Kreplach come from? I'll just give you a few more minutes. Let's see if anybody does know. And then now I'm going to change the subject completely. And before I do that, please have a wonderful, wonderful Simchas Torah and a wonderful Shmini Atzeret. Enjoy yourselves. But please don't overindulge in liquor. It can become very dangerous. Those, unfortunately, who drive, you know, Lahavdil, please, it's very dangerous. So please take it easy, but have a wonderful, wonderful evening, and bring all the kids to shul, get their chocolates, etc. And it's a very, very happy day, Simchat Torah, the birthday of the Torah. Now, a few days ago, and I don't want to be very, very open on where it was, and I'm going to talk now with what we call Bak Tzeina. I was at a certain function, and I heard somebody speak, and I met a young person there, and we were talking, and he said to me, look, we're not here for history lessons. We're not interested in the past. And I was very, very, very annoyed about this, because all our listeners know, whenever I talk, if you don't have a past, you don't have a future. And the young people today, and I'm sorry to say this, is my own personal opinion, they don't know, they don't want to know. The reason is today because they're born into a society of affluence. I don't say everybody in Johannesburg or South Africa are affluent, but they didn't go through what our parents went through. Now, our parents, when they arrived in South Africa, or our grandparents, they came here and they built up the institutions. If you would go to a shul, the people, all the older members who weren't millionaires, who didn't own big corporates or CEOs or COOs, whatever you want to call them, They came here. They started little grocery stores. I can name you in the corners of the shuls, near the shuls, like in Jeppy. I can name you about four or five people who a block away from each had a little grocery store. And they battled, and I really mean it, to make a living. And of course, they put their children through school and to university. So it's very easy for the young people to talk today and say we're not interested. And those shuls, the older generation made sure that they would have what they called a bond redemption campaign. That is to pay off the bond of the shul. They went out collecting the money, and then they would pay it off. So I'm going to continue after the break.
He's called the Walking Human Encyclopedia, but here at Chai FM, you know him as Isaac Resnick. For a nostalgic walk down memory lane, catch Isaac Resnick Friday mornings at 9 a.m. And for the lowdown in the community, be sure to stay tuned for Talk of the Town, Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. A walk down memory lane with our very own Jewish encyclopedia. It's Talk of the Town with Isaac Resnick, only on your station, 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, I'm talking about our parents, our grandparents, who built up all the institutions that we have today, which are taken for granted by the younger generation. And I gave the background, how they battled, how they used to have little grocery stores going around. They didn't have big corporate businesses, where the youngsters today are born into that, into affluent societies, living in homes worth millions of rands. I remember when we lived in Jeppy, and I'm sure many other listeners here are listening in, remember we didn't have our toilets in the house. They were in the backyard. So, but we had a value system, and we appreciated everything. Our parents battled. They worked hard to make a living, but they made sure that we would have an education, that we'd have a better life than they had. Don't forget, they'd come from Europe, and there they suffered tremendously. You had all some of the pogroms, and unbelievable how they were treated. And then, of course, the Shoah, where hundreds and thousands of people, millions, were completely annihilated by the Nazis, Yimach Shemor, etc. But I'm not going into that. I'm going into the history of South African Jewry. You must appreciate it. So as I mentioned, one youngster said to me, a young gentleman, very well known in this community and holds a very high position in one of the big corporates, oh, we're not interested in history. We're not here for history lessons. And of course, you can't live that way. You've got to appreciate it. And then how many started off in the Houghton? Where did they come from? They came from either Forsberger, Mayfair, or Jeppy, Belgravia, or Troyville. And then they moved to Yeovil, and then they moved to Houghton. So it's very easy to talk today like that. So please, they must understand. I get very, very annoyed about it, because I love Jewish history, and I'm sure many of our listeners as well appreciate their homes and their parents. And when their parents used to have a sukkah at home, if they could afford one, how they would cater, it would be unbelievable. And then a remark was made, oh, well, you know, there wasn't a Jewish presence here in Johannesburg. I can assure you, in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, there were a very strong Jewish community. Look, times have changed today. You see, it's very easy for a young professional to go to a Osamayach and study there for 3 or 4 hours in the morning, and then go in the afternoon to his business and run the business as a CEO or COO, whatever you want to call them. But we didn't have that facility, and we had to go to Cheder either early in the morning before school, or you went in the afternoon. And I'm sure many of you remember the Chadorim. But there we got a good, I don't say you don't get it today, because you have wonderful Jewish day schools, but we had a good Jewish background. And I'm sure many of you remember, we were all under the auspices of the, what they call the United Hebrew Schools. I'm sure you remember the director was the late Roy Katz, the brother of the late Rabbi Sidney Katz, it's all of Pretoria, father of Michael Katz and Joan Weiner, and Rabbi Shapsi and his wife. Won't go into that. But we had a value system. And why I want to mention that is the Board of Education, you know, when it started in the 1930s, there was a Mr. I think it Mirovsky, who was the first director, and then he was succeeded by, and I met him personally, Rabbi Avida Zlotnik, one of the giants. They brought him from Canada, and he built up a magnificent South African Jewish Board of Education. When he retired, he was taken over by Rabbi Isaac Goss. I'm sure many of you remember him. Isaac Goss was a local rabbi, a brilliant intellectual, and of course, I won't go into all the other people who took over, but they built up institutions. And then I'm going to mention earlier about the bond redemption campaigns. And why I'm going to mention this is very important. There was a certain institution, I'm not mentioning names, where unfortunately they got involved financially with one of the big banks, and the banks in those days would never ever decline a bond application for a Jewish organization. Automatically it was granted. But once this incident happened, all the banks decided to foreclose the bonds of all the shuls, and the shuls were running around collecting money. I just want to mention, for example, the Berea shul, there was a bond owing when this happened, and the bank wanted their money paid, and they owned a flat in Berea, which they sold to pay off their bond. So it's a different ball game today. And I hope the younger generation who are listening really appreciate what our parents and grandparents built up in this community. Now, also, it's very easy to say, you know, we don't need the history, we don't know it. There wasn't a Yiddishkeit in Joburg. There was. You know, you've got the strip today in Glen Eisel, and you've got all those Jewish the butcheries and the fish shops and the bakeries and everything. But you know, in the 1930s, 40s and 50s, Bait Street in Dornfontein had 7 kosher butcheries. I'm not going to mention their names. There was the Bailey's Confectionery. There was the American Ice Cream. There was Speyer's Confectionery. There was the Crystal Confectionery. The list could go on. Right, this was not a wilderness. But as I say, standards have changed today. Kol HaKavod, because more people are going to yeshiva today. They can. You know, when I mentioned earlier about the United Hebrew Schools, we didn't have Jewish day schools like a King David, the yeshiva colleges, which were founded only in the 60s, etc. We went to Cheder, and that's where we got our background. That's where we got our Jewish education. So, as I said, there wasn't a wilderness here. And I remember the late Rabbi Aloyzer Tzal told me specifically when he came here, he came just before the war, and he said he found a Jewish community. I'll give you some examples. We're taking a break. We'll be back in a few moments.
What's going on in the community? Let's find out with Isaac Resnick.
Welcome back. I just got a text here, which I'll read out, and I do appreciate it. Dear Isaac, please don't think twice about the youth who arrogantly said he didn't want to know about history. I certainly enjoy and appreciate the vast well of knowledge you so generously share with all who want to learn. Thank you very much. I do appreciate your comments. But as I said, you can't just write it off. And you know, as I said, our parents didn't have the opportunity today what we did. But I must mention, if you would go to a Fordsburg shul, or you go to the Beth HaMedrash in Dornfontein, where there was the late Rabbi Yitzhak Kosofsky Zatzal, who was the Rav of the Federation, every evening there would be an attendance of about 200 to 300 men sitting around and learning Gemara, studying with Rabbi Kosofsky, giving a shiur. You would find the same in Mayfair or in Jeppe. Mayfair, there was the Rabbi Zeidel and Zagnoff also. And in Jeppe, you had Rabbi Soloveitchik, and later on Rabbi Marcus. And I can't talk about the later on shuls, but don't forget, when we started here, the Federation, there were only three shuls who formed it. And then you had, that was the Great Synagogue, United, and then you had the Berea, and you had the Jeppe. And then the others came in. And of course, in Dorfentin alone, you had five shuls. You had the Porzville, the Ponovers, the Lion Shul, and just the Beth Hamidrash Agorl, as I said, and just a few blocks down in Moy Street as well, and of course the Hasidim Shul as well. So you can't say there wasn't a Jewish presence in Johannesburg. And yet all of them, the gentlemen who had to make a living, I'm not defending them, Lahavdil. Some of them did work on a Shabbat, but I know many of them who worked on a Shabbat, closed their business, and then come home and change their clothes and enjoy Shabbat with their children and their family. I know it's not correct, but that's what happened. They wanted to make sure that their children had a better education. So I will take note of that gentleman who said to me, I won't think arrogantly. Of course, tomorrow is the last day for asking for atonement and everything. But I want the youth to know we had a very, very, very strong Jewish presence here. Things have changed today. You know, you've got modern technology. I go to a shiur once a week where when they're going to bench, they take out their cell phones and they bench from the cell phone. We didn't have that facility. We didn't have a computer or iPads, whatever is going today. So that was what was. You know, today you have the computer and you want to get onto a site, you go into www, which means what was, what was. Now, to get back to that last question I asked about Kreplach, well, the other, so there's 3 days, you've got Hoshana Rabbah, you've got Yom Kippur, and you've got Purim. Now, you know, Kreplach on the shape of a triangle, it's a paste, a dough, and inside it you put some meat, and that is to basically hide your avarice. It's in the shape of a triangle. But how does the name Kreplach come about? And I'll tell you where it comes from. And you know, when we, on Yom Kippur, we start saying all the Al-Chait, Shechatonu, etc. And you come to the last stanza, the last section, and you say Al-Chait, Shechatonu, Salach Lonu, Kaper Lonu, Kaper Kreplach. That's where it comes from, to please forgive. So I just want to wish all our listeners a wonderful, wonderful Yontov. Enjoy yourselves. Let's hope the weather will, it'll rain, but let's hope it won't be as it was yesterday with a terrible storm. And to thank Craig for controlling, to remind you that on Sunday we have the Art of the Cantor between 4 and 5. And to also remind you, don't forget on Wednesday evening you've got to do Eruv Tavshilin, you've got to cook some food, an egg, a boiled egg with a piece of fish or meat or something, because this gives you the permission to cook on Yontov for Shabbos. So go well, have a wonderful, wonderful Yontov. Thanks for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure being in your company.